looking on the Old Testament law and especially the seventh-day Sabbath. This is quite relevant to us because in our society and other places in the world, true children of God have to contend with those who want to take us back to the Old Testament. Of course, this was so in the time of the apostle. While in the time of the apostles, there were few other contentious, erroneous, false teaching on other subjects, I think it is fair to say that whether or not one was subject to the law of Moses or not was the main issue that Paul had to deal with. The book of Galatians and the book of Hebrews largely was dedicated to answering that question and to settle the matter once for all. So you find quite extensively the book of Hebrews goes in detail about the law. The book of Galatians also deals extensively with that subject. Because Paul had to contend with it. Of course, the book of Romans, the book of Corinthians deals, each of these books addresses that subject. Vivian, could I have a few minutes of
to this last piece? You may think it was written by an Adventist. It is written in St. Catherine's Catholic Church Sentinel, published May 21, 1995. They said, people who think that the scriptures should be their sole authority, they said, if you believe that the Bible is your sole authority, you should logically become Seventh-day Adventist and keep the Sabbath holy. And no me says so, you know. I am not the one who says, you know. I am just reading to you what they have said. And God said, this gospel of the kingdom.
I bring to your attention.
I saw three angels flying.
Remember, this gentleman is going purely by what the Catholic says. So you must be mindful, quoting what the Catholic says and building his argument on what the Catholic says. My God, what the Catholic says is falsehood. Is Roman Catholic falsehood. So you unless you are discussing with the Catholic and trying to show that what he's saying, that is a Catholic, is false, then what this gentleman is doing is just nonsense. You know, as I keep saying, it's like you're building a straw house and then set out to knock it down and to, like, you have accomplished anything. No. A straw house is easy. You don't have to even blow hard to knock down a straw house. So his argument is just, well, you want to play a little more, Vivian?
Nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. Well, how do we give him glory? By living a life of surrender to him, by obedience to his will. Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come. The next quotation said, Christianity is indebted to the Catholic Church for the institution of Sunday as the Sabbath day. Are you listening to me? This is from the Roman Church.
You may stop me now. Again, if this man was knowledgeable of the scripture, one of the common sense, you don't have to be any smart, Ali, is to be mindful that the gospel, the New Testament, the 27 books of the New Testament that we have, dealt with New Testament worship many places. And that New Testament was in existence, being followed by New Testament Christian some 600 years before anybody knew about any Roman Catholic Church, before any Roman Catholic Church was formed or organized, some 600 years before, where the Bible encourages and practices worshiping on the first day of the week, Sunday. So to be quoting what the Roman Catholic says, is to, little common sense would tell this Seventh-day Adventist man that, no, your approach is wrong. You are wrong and your approach is wrong. You need to challenge the Roman Catholic Church with the New Testament truth, that first day of the week worship, Sunday worship, was here umpteen years before they came into existence by the devil's doing. And that applies to us today. If and when you meet Roman Catholic and they are turning over this falsehood to you, you can get any encyclopedia, good encyclopedia, and it will tell you about the year when the Roman Catholic Church came into existence. Wait, not what they say, because what they say would not be objective. They would just be telling you what they want things to be. But what history has recorded, there was no Roman Catholic Church in the first century, in the second century, in the third century, in the fourth century, in the fifth century, up until the sixth or seventh century. But yet, there was first day of the week, Sunday worship, in the time of Paul. There was Sunday worship in the time of Peter. There was Sunday worship during the time when the New Testament was being written. And those have the approval of the inspired apostle of Jesus Christ. What has God said about the Jewish law, given only to the Israelite and to no one else? What has God said? We run now to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, mark you, I intended, when months ago Vivian had brought to my attention this Sabbath-keeping preacher that he heard, and we decided then that I would present one or two lessons looking at some of those errors. Well, time passed and I didn't get around until Brother Norman and myself spoke again, and I thought I would, in one or two lessons, I would address the point. But you see, there's so much to understand about the law, because the Sabbath is a part of the law. The law contains the Sabbath. And because there are so much, I feel that having a few lessons on it would be of help to those who are interested. So what has God said about the Jewish law? And as I've said, it was given only to the children of Israel. Very important that be kept in mind. Let us turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 3.
And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them.
Notice, it's important that you keep things in their proper perspective. Remember, this time you have a lot of other nations. You have the Amorites, the Amalekites, the Jebusites, the Philistines surrounding Israel. But notice how specific here. To whom he said, let us start again.
And Moses called all Israel.
All Israel.
And said unto them.
That's very important. And said unto them, to whom? The Israelites. Not to the Egyptian. Remember, Israel had just left Egypt at this time. You see, but what is being said was not meant for the Egyptian. It was not meant for the Cushite. It was meant for Israel. Read on.
Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgment which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers.
Now, all that is very important. Very important. You see, and Christian must keep. When Sabbatarian or any other ignorant person give you the idea that the Sabbath or the law was meant for all people. No, that's a falsehood. And even what the brothers just read. Read, brother.
Even with us, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive
this day. God
did not
make this covenant, this agreement, with their father, and that always include these three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As close as Abraham was to the Almighty God, being the only person to be honored by being called God's friend, Abraham knew nothing about the Sabbath. In fact, let me just drop this there. When somebody, you know, you're going to meet up on somebody who tell you that the Sabbath was kept from creation. I'm hoping tonight to demolish that if I get to it. But the Sabbath was kept back from creation. Abraham knew nothing about that. And when the Almighty God said that this agreement, this covenant I'm making with you, I did not make it with your father. That is, all these precepts that I'm giving you as an agreement between you and me, I did not make this covenant with your father. That is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not have this covenant. Read on.
Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire, I stood between the Lord and you at that time
mm-hmm.
to show you the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For ye were afraid by reason of the fire
mm-hmm.
and went not up into the mount, saying...
That is verse what?
Five.
Verse five. Stop there and step down to 15.
And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand.
This is a passage that specifically is telling the Israelites why mm-hmm. are the reasons they are commanded to keep the Sabbath. It is an agreement between God and the Israelites so that every Sabbath would be used as a time of reflection. Reflection, Madam Chair. Yes. They would take it easy, not work, relax. Concentrate on what? On what God did for them. God wants them never to forget how they were emancipated. So listen, remember, the brother is reading verse 50, that you, that is the God, were a servant, the word servant is saying, in Egypt.
Yes.
And that the Lord thy God
brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm.
Watch your
mouth. Therefore,
you see that little word, therefore?
Yes.
Therefore, that's the key.
That's right.
Meaning, for this reason.
Amen.
Meaning, this is why.
Amen.
Meaning, on this basis.
Yes. Amen.
I am commanding you to keep the Sabbath.
Amen.
Therefore,
the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day.
That is, this is why I am commanding you to keep the Sabbath. Because you were slave in Egypt, and I, by a miraculous means, led you out. This is why you are commanded to keep the Sabbath. Nobody else was ever commanded to keep the Sabbath, but the Israelites. Mm-hmm. Just jump with me to Deuteronomy 4, 7 through 8. Deuteronomy 4, 7 through 8.
For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them?
I wonder if you get what Moses is implying here. Watch here. Start it again.
For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them?
Their mighty God wanted them to see their uniqueness. So their mighty God asked them to look around. Do you know of any other nation like you? Who is so great? Who God is as close to, but he's not in.
Yes. As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them,
mm-hmm.
as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?
Mm-hmm.
And what nation is there so great?
Watch here.
That our statues and judgment
uh-huh.
so righteous
uh-huh.
as all this law.
Wait, you get the point? What verse 8 is implying? There is no other nation that have the laws that Israel have.
Amen.
What verse 7 and 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 4 is implying? That you, Israel, are the only one who have a God like you have and have laws like you have. No other nation.
Amen.
Indicating from God's own mouth that these laws are principles containing the seventh-day Sabbath was given to no one else.
Amen.
Okay. Yes. Which I set before you this day. God showing Israelite that they were unique. No other nation have Jehovah as their God. No other nation have the laws. That is the law containing the Sabbath like Israel. Look at Exodus 31, verse 12 following. We are looking on what has God said about the Jewish law. Give only to Israel. Let us hear. Exodus 31.
And the Lord spake unto
from
Moses.
From verse 12. Uh-huh.
And the Lord spake unto Moses,
mm-hmm.
saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel.
Notice this specificity. How specific God is. Don't speak to the nation. That's not what it says. Don't speak to all the people around. Speak to Israel. Read.
Amen. Saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep.
That is to Israel. Uh-huh. Read.
For it is a sign between me and you.
Everybody hear that? When when a man gives his girlfriend a ring, engagement ring, that engagement ring is not a sign between him and all the women around. It's never. It's a sign between him and that woman. And that's the concept here. God was speaking to Israel through Moses. And the Almighty God is saying, the things I command you, the Sabbath and all the other things in the law, they are between you and me. It's an agreement between God and Israel. Read that a little more.
Throughout your generations.
Throughout your generation.
That ye may know that I am the Lord that doeth sanctify you.
Mm-hmm.
Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore.
Mm-hmm.
For it is holy unto you.
Holy unto all people.
You.
Unto you, the Israelite.
Amen.
Step with me to Numbers 15, 32 through 35.
And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
they found a man that gathered sticks mm-hmm. upon the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses
uh-huh.
and Aaron.
I like this passage. They brought the man gathering sticks on the Sabbath unto Moses and to Aaron. Moses and Aaron were the
yeah.
top leaders.
Yeah.
Read on.
And unto all the congregation. And they put him in word, because it was not declared what should be done to him.
You get the point? Because the Sabbath was a new institution
Amen.
For Israel. Not even Moses knew what was to be done to this man. You know, remember, your people to be lying and garbage, I think the Sabbath was from creation. That's pure folly. And I'll get into that. But this is a good example. So they brought the man to Moses. Nobody knew what was to be done to the man because of the newness of this institution of the Sabbath. Read on.
And they put him inward because it was not declared what should be done to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Moses,
here God have to enter the picture.
The man...
Wait, not even Moses and Aaron knew what was to be done to the man. Because the Sabbath was a new thing.
Man.
Read. But remember too, never forget, but it's still among the Israelites that we're having this.
Yeah.
Read on.
And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death.
That's right. That's right. Because the penalty for breaking the Sabbath was to be stoned to death.
Amen.
And sometimes you can ask your Adventist friend, what about the animal that should, the offering, the sheep that should be killed on the Sabbath day? The priest usually kill, I think, 2 sheep. But there was a sacrifice to be done on that day, every Sabbath. And then those who break the Sabbath were to be stoned to death.
Yeah.
Where is that penalty? You see, a person would have to turn out to the New Testament to help explain that away.
Uh-huh.
What verse you stop, brother?
35.
Okay, stop there. Okay. Let us turn now to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12 following. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12 following.
12:9, right?
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12 following.
Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar.
The prophet Nehemiah is rehearsing what God did for Israel. And I want you to listen and note. Thou
leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar.
Uh-huh.
And in the night by a pillar of fire.
Uh-huh.
To give them light in the way wherein they should go.
This is as the children were marching from Egypt to the promised land. All along the way, the Almighty God was with them, giving them direction and giving them light. All along. Read on.
To give them light in the way wherein they should go.
Mm-hmm.
Thou comest down also upon Mount Sinai,
uh-huh,
and speakest with them from heaven. And gavest them right judgments.
And true laws.
Good statutes. And commandments.
Uh-huh.
And madest known unto them thy holy. Thy holy Sabbath.
The Sabbath. To whom was it made known? To Israel. The prophet is at Nehemiah chapter. emperor's way. It was to Israel that the Sabbath was made known. When did that tell you that? When Adam knew the Sabbath and kept the Sabbath. Abraham and Noah and all these. My God, these people are ignorant and far. Here God's word is telling you that it was made known at Sinai to the Israelites.
Amen.
Let us move to another passage. Romans chapter 2, 12 through 14. Romans 2, 12 through 14.
For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law.
May I just, the purpose for which I come to this passage in Romans, I haven't stated it yet, you'll see. But even what the brothers just read, Seventh-day Adventists feel that if you don't have the Ten Commandments, there can be no sin. They see everything in reference to the Ten Commandments. That is also heights of ignorance. Listen what the brothers just read.
For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law.
Men and women were sinning before the law was given.
Amen.
In fact, the Bible stated, until the law, sin was in the world, which means before the law, sin was in the world.
Uh-huh.
But read that.
And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law.
Mm-hmm.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God,
mm-hmm.
but the doers of the law shall be justified.
Mm-hmm.
For when the Gentiles...
Watch, you know, that's why I've come to this passage.
For when the Gentiles, which have not the law...
Romans was written about 57, 58 AD. The book of Romans. Take away 30 from that 7. That is about 27, 30 years after Christianity came into existence. The book of Romans was written. Here the writer of Romans, probably the most knowledgeable apostle, inspired apostle of Christ Paul, is saying in 57 to 58 AD when he wrote the book of Romans, he said the Gentiles did not have the law. What is the indication? God did not give Gentiles the law. Confirming again that only Jews have the law. And if only Jews have the law, only Jews have the Sabbath. It was given to nobody else. Hear the passage in Romans, for when the Gentiles who have not the law,
which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law.
Mm-hmm.
These having not the law.
Here again, confirming a second time, he said, these who Gentiles mean all those who are not Jews. They did not have the law. Why? God did not give it. But why I find this passage important is that some 27 years after Christianity, probably 30 years after Christianity came into existence, God still did not give Gentiles the law. Talk about the law was given to everybody. Okay, let us hear Galatians chapter 3, verse 17 following.
And this I say.
Did I say 3:17?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after.
Wait. The way the King James word that can be a little. What it is pointing out is that God made a covenant with Abraham. That covenant was that through Abraham's seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed. That covenant was about Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the church. Watch me now. But the Ten Commandment law did not come until 430 years ago. God came 430 years after God made the covenant with Abraham. And what the apostle Paul. Now here is a man who knew the law. Mm-hmm. And even Peter writing referred to Paul's knowledge.
Yeah.
And here Paul is reasoning with the Jews, showing them that the law was a temporary thing just thrown in. To make people conscious that there is wrong and there is right. And that came 430 years after the promise of Christ and Christianity. So for Adventists to talk like the Sabbath. Read it, brother.
Yes. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect.
You hear that? That is the promise about Christ and Christianity can never take second place to the law. The law was just thrown in because of, in fact, read a little further.
For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise.
Here again, it is pointing out, and I may have a lesson on that, not sure, that law and promise, or law and faith, do not mix. They don't go together. And there are a whole ton load of passages that keep pointing out that faith and law do not mix. But that's not what we are dealing with now. Okay. Let us run. Let me Galatians chapter 2, verse 12. No. Galatians chapter 4:21, following.
Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law,
mm-hmm.
Do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abram had two sons,
mm-hmm.
The one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman.
May I just, I shouldn't be rushing from this passage. It's a great passage. Abraham had two sons, one with the slave and one with his wife. The Bible is going to point out, show you, when you notice how Abraham got rid of Hagar, it made you feel that Abraham was heartless. He wasn't. But you see, brothers and sisters, Hagar and Sarah are Ishmael and Isaac represent two different dispensations or two covenants. In fact, read it, brother. We have John Bobby.
tell me ye that desire to be under the law? Do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abram had two sons.
Yes.
The one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman.
That is, the one by a slave, and but, the other by a woman who was free. She wasn't a slave. That's Sarah, his wife.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh.
That is Ishmael.
But he of the free woman was by promise.
That is, Isaac was the son of promise.
Yes. Which things are
allegory? They are illustration. Read.
For these are the two covenants.
Everybody hear that? Everybody hear that? One of those covenants is the law. The other covenant is the gospel. In Christ. You can't have it plainer than that, you know. But it doesn't matter how plain you make it for Adventists. Read on, brother.
The one, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gathereth to bondage.
That, brother, that is talk about the Ten Commandments system.
Yes.
Because when the Bible speaks about covenant in reference to that covenant between God and Israel, it always includes the Ten Commandments system. Why? Because the Ten Commandments are referred to as words of the covenant. Read on.
Which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered to Jerusalem, which know his, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
And the us all refer to Christian, you know.
For it is written,
Rejoice,
thou barren, that bear it not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not.
Read on.
For the desolate hath many more children than she.
Read on.
Which hath an husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
Brother Mitchell, who is the we? Christian. Amen. Read on a little further.
But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him.
You see, Ishmael keep fighting and mocking Isaac. All that was symbolic. Read on.
That was born after the Spirit. Even so, it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture?
I like that. You see, because what God says is what's going to come. Amen. Read what God says.
Cast out the bondwoman. Cast out the bondwoman and her son.
Remember, these two characters represent two covenants. One covenant made at Mount Sinai, that is the Ten Commandment covenant. And the other covenant made at Calvary, which is New Testament Christianity. Now, the two systems cannot mix. This is why every place
For the son of the bondwoman shall not be here with the son of the free woman.
That's right.
So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman.
That's right.
But of the free.
Isn't that plain?
Amen.
And you can go home and read this passage. Two covenants. One at Mount Sinai represent the Ten Commandments system and the biological or fleshly Israel. And one at Calvary represent Jesus Christ and the church and Christianity. Yeah. The two systems. You cannot hold on to the law and hold on to the gospel at the same time.
Amen.
Let me end with a passage in Hebrews chapter 4. Get me from verse 4. We have heard over and over about, the Sabbath being kept from creation and who kept the Sabbath and what and what and what. Listen to this passage, which I'm trying to make the final passage in tonight's discussion. Read it, Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 4.
For he speak in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again.
When a person goes to the book of Genesis and want to tell you about rest, the word Sabbath does not occur in the book of Genesis, because every rest is not a Sabbath. I want to repeat that. Everywhere you see the word rest in the Bible does not refer to a Sabbath. And be mindful of that. Read that again, brother.
For he speak in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise.
Uh-huh.
And God did rest the seventh day from all his works.
That's right.
And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing, therefore, it remaineth.
What the brothers just read here and reflect way in the beginning, Genesis. Nobody knew about that until hundreds or thousands of years after, when Moses came and deceived. Very important that you be mindful of that. The rest spoken about in Genesis was kept by God. It was not until God ready to make a covenant with the Israelites and to use Moses as the writer that lack of what took place in the beginning. You and I know about the creation. To whose writing? Moses. What about Abraham? They knew that God created the world, but the detail that you and I got from Moses in Genesis was not given to them. We must be mindful of that. And what the Bible said about in Genesis, and God rested from all this world. Until God revealed that to Moses, nobody knew. Read on.
Seeing, therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached.
Wait. those to whom it was first preached. I find for me this is one of the most important passages in the entire Bible in respect to when was the Sabbath given. Remember, we read Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12 following, that it was made known to the Israelite at Mount Sinai. And that's important passage. Because you see, what we have with these people is lying on God and on the Bible. That the Sabbath was given to all people. The Sabbath was from creation and all foolishness. The Sabbath was given only to Israel. But watch it. And those to whom it was first preached, the writer of Hebrews, in the same context, identified those people that Joshua did not give rest as the one to whom the Sabbath was
first
preached. That's the Israelite. Very important passage, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 5. Is it 5 or 6?
That's 6.
6. Don't throw that passage around. Truly. I start to keep that passage that if one day I'm in a debate with them, this business about the Sabbath was kept from creation. The Sabbath was given to all nations, and the Sabbath was given to Gentiles. Here the Bible tells us, and those to whom it was first preached. Who is that? Within the same context of Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 4 following, it identified those people whom Joshua did not give rest. That is the Israelites. And I drop this, even after the Israelites kept the Sabbath for well over 1,000 years, the Sabbath that God promised, they did not experience. So the 7-day Sabbath is not the rest that God promised. And notice, is it verse 11? Quick, time gone. Let me hear verse 11, quick.
11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest.
Everybody hear that? You get the point? The Bible is telling us now is not a Sabbath time. Now is labor time, it's work time.
Yes.
We must work now and look forward for the Sabbath.
Yes.
But that has not yet come. And don't mix them up, as if the Holy Spirit is saying through the Hebrew right. Don't mix them up. Now is the time to work for Christ and Christianity and the church.
Yeah.
Don't take Sabbath now. Now is not the time to keep Sabbath or to rest. Now is the time to work for Christ. I close with that, but notice this. I have not yet dealt with Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, where Adventists, recognizing the problem that they are in, want to turn the plural of Sabbath days in Colossians into ceremonial yearly Sabbath of the Old Testament. That will be dealt with in another lesson. Not only that, when did the New Testament, as the new administration, when did it come in force? When we are told that Christ kept the Sabbath, yes. But then we need to know at what time did the New Testament become effective? Very important. The Bible deals with that. But we're not going to deal with that now. In a lesson coming up. So when did the New Testament come a force? In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 34, Christ talked about your law, the word of God, the scripture. These three terms, do they refer to one thing or three different things? We will look at that. Not only that, we will look, as I've said, at the Sabbath days in Colossians. And last but not least, we are going to examine some 8 to 9 cases of example of first day of the week command our worship. Did I say 8 to 9? Yes. We usually give you about 4 or 5. We are going to give you about 8 or 9 cases of example of first day of the week command and practice when we get back, God's willing. If some question comes up in your mind, jot it down, just write it down, because while we will not do so tonight, any question arising from anything that we have discussed during this time of looking on what the Bible teaches about the Sabbath, like the falsehood we hear from this man about Sabbath change from Saturday to Sunday, we have already dealt with that, that there was no change from Saturday to Sunday. Because Christians are not given a Sabbath now. Christians are promised a Sabbath to come. But what we are going to show when we undertake the subject is the fact that we must not permit ourselves through ignorance to be swayed, to be partially convinced, or to be wandering in our mind whether the Sabbath should be kept or not. The Bible makes it plain that you cannot mix the two systems and be right with God. You cannot. Thank you.